Big news! The new Sprint LTE Plus network is faster than Verizon and AT&T based on analysis of a recent study by Nielsen. And to celebrate, we're inviting you to join Sprint for the biggest offer in U.S. wireless history. Switch to Sprint and save 50% on most Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile rates. Yep, you heard that right. No gimmicks, no tricks. You have Verizon 6 gigs for $60, 30 with Sprint. And if you have 15 gigs for $100 from AT&T, 50 with Sprint. Even if you have T-Mobile's 10 gigs for $80, we'll give it to you for 40. Oh, and one more thing. We'll even pay your switching fees up to $650 per line so you can switch to the Sprint LTE Plus network today. Visit a Sprint store or sprint.com/save50%.
Offer coverage not available everywhere for discounted phones. Excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, and premium content. Subject to new line $36 activation fee. Credit valid port in. Plans may not be exact match. See website for eligible plans. Offer ends 1/7/16. Savings through 1/8/18. Exclusions and restrictions apply. Contract liability. Reward card requires online registration.
Aloha Kakayaka, and welcome to the Crystal and Ka'iwi Talk Story at 9 a.m. High Time, which stands for Hawaii Time. Today's topic is celebrating love, peace, joy, and wisdom. We are a Hawaiian spirituality show with myself, Crystal, and my co-host, Ka'iwi. We talk about Hawaiian spirituality things. We talk about keakua, trusting your na'au, and many, many more topics. As always, we start our weekly show off with a pule. For those of you that do not know what pule is in Hawaiian, it stands for prayer. So since Ka'iwi is with us, if Ka'iwi will do our pule for this wonderful show.
Yes. Mahalo nui. Thank you, Crystal. So we always begin with our pule to invite and bring us into this beautiful, wonderful space. So we begin, mahalo kia kua, mahalo na au makua, our guide, mahalo na kupuna, our ohana. Kia kua, we thank you for this day that your hands have created. We thank you for allowing us to be in this space, in this time and space, as we head into the holiday season. It is upon us now. And so as we gather in this time, let us bring ourselves into awareness of all that is going on around us. We thank you again for the wonderful blessings of the sunrise, the sunset, of each other, of our ohana here in the physical as well as our ohana in the spiritual. Let us always be thankful for the blessings, the many wonderful blessings that you have bestowed upon us, especially the blessing of araha, of our breath. With our breath, thank you, Kekua, that we can accomplish so much with our breath. So we thank you, and we open up the space, and we invite you into this space. Na'umakua, our guides, na'kupuna, our ohana, as we spend time in this holiday season with one another. Let us share love. Amama uanoa, it is given, it is free. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, that was awesome. Mahalo, mahalo. That was so sweet and so, you know, it hit me in the na'au. So, well, for those of you that don't know what a na'au is, it's your inner guidance system, you know, the ESP. You know, like when you would get in trouble, you would sneak out of the house and you didn't think anybody, you know, and then boom, you're busted. You know, your mom doesn't say anything. She just makes a casual remark and you're like, she knows. How does she know? All right. That inner guidance system,
yeah.
ESP. Yeah. I want our listeners to know that we pre-recorded this show for our December 24th short. Show Christmas Eve, so that way we can spend time with our families during this holiday season of love, peace, joy, and wisdom, because that's what every day should be about, but most people just remember it around this time of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. And if you're like me, we're behind. I'm behind the season, you know, everybody's like geared up and everything, and I'm like just leisurely strolling through this season going, wow, okay, you know, and but it's just enjoying, not getting caught up in this, we need to rush and do this and that. It's, you know, it's really just enjoying each other's company and, you know, just really being engulfed by love. That's me at this point, and I feel it that way. You know, I'm just not that I'm not in the season. It's just there's a different shift in I guess, me and my household. You know, so hard to explain that, but, you know, that's just me right at this point. That's why I'm like,
Well, and that's the thing of it, though, is that isn't the holiday every day? Why do we have to just make
yes.
it limited to the 6-week period between Thanksgiving and New Year's? Can't we make that holiday
yes.
every day? You know,
exactly.
I mean, it took me living with a male stripper to celebrate my birthday for a week. And then I just, as I got older, I started celebrating my birthday for a month. And people
exactly.
that I know think I'm nuts because, oh my God, you're another year older. Why would you want to do that? Why not? Why not celebrate the greatness that you are? Why not be
exactly.
happy that you're 52,
exactly.
53,
you know,
54?
And I agree.
It's an accomplishment. Kaivi, did we lose you? Hello? All right.
I like the whole month.
Yeah. You know, and go ahead. I'm gonna let you talk.
No. I like I said, I'm just smiling. I'm beaming here because I'm like, ooh, a month. That's pretty cool, you know.
Yeah. And when I turned 50, the year that I turned 50, I started celebrating my birthday month from I'm a May baby, so I started celebrating it from May 1. And every day I did something different. Well, I'll take that back. Not quite different, but it was a new day, so it was different. But, you know, every day we went and did something for my birthday. Some things cost money. Some things did not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, technically they all cost
mm-hmm.
money because they, you know, gas and whatnot. But, you know, we would go
mm-hmm.
to the, you know, my husband and I would go to the lake for dinner. And we'd go on the motorcycle. So, you know, he packed
cool.
us the little bag of charcoal. And, you know, we have a full dresser. So it has the two saddlebags and the trunk, you know, hard saddlebags and hard
mm-hmm.
trunk.
Mm-hmm.
So compared to others. But, you know, we got our little coolers in Hawaii, the little zipper coolers. So it's got all
mm-hmm.
the cold stuff. You know, and so we'd either go for lunch or dinner. Lunch, we'd take hamburgers or sausage and, you know, take the dominoes and go sit and play dominoes. We'd sit in there and, you know, have a couple of beers or, you know, he'd have beers, I'd have wine coolers. But it was always something
mm-hmm.
different, you know. And if we went for dinner, we stayed for the sunset. And for us, the sunset doesn't mean when the sun's, you know, at the end. Sunset to us means from when it starts going down till it's pitch black. That is,
mm-hmm.
you know, our meaning of sunset is watching it till it's pitch black.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get
mm-hmm.
all those great colors, but you also get to go into the darkness. And you see
mm-hmm.
the stars, you see, you know, the moon beaming on the water. So you get a whole different perspective. And,
I love
you know,
it.
That year we went, yeah, and that year we went to Lone Star Park here. It's a horse racetrack. I know I'm going to get weird emails about that, but, you know, this is my birthday. I grew up with horses. My dad
exactly.
In the 1940s, there used to be a horse track in Honolulu. My dad and his
mm-hmm.
brother were jockeys.
mm-hmm.
So I grew
cool.
up. I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up with horses, and you know, and horse racing in my blood. So you know, it's in my DNA.
That's cool.
But yeah, so we went to did Kentucky Derby with a you know a dear friend of our you know a couple you know They're dear friends of ours, and had the best time. Didn't know nothing about betting on who, what, and where. We were just, get the little program that they have, and you're looking, you go place your bet. You might win $2, you might lose $4, but it was just something fun, So we just, my husband and I, and every day he would ask, okay, what do you want to do today? And we're doing this in between working, because my husband has an aquarium service business. So we still have to work, but we still got to enjoy my birthday every day. We did something, if we worked during the day, we went and did something in the evening, which was mostly going to the lake and either barbecuing or just going up there to watch the sunset, because the lake that we like to go to has a beautiful beach. Not as beautiful as some of the beaches back home, but it has a beautiful beach. So we go, I'll go sit, put my toes in, watch the sun go down, and have that experience. But every day is a new day. Every day that I would go to the beach, people say, oh, well, you just went to the beach, no big deal. But it's a different day. It's not it's not like on a loop of a program where you're watching the same bird, like Groundhog Day. It's a new mm-hmm. day with different birds, different bugs, different things. So you have to mm-hmm. embrace those things. So, mm-hmm. So how do you get into the celebrating love, peace, joy, and wisdom? Right now you said, you're behind the eight ball per se compared to other people. But it's your journey. Kaivi, mm-hmm. it's not my journey. Ron and I have a Christmas tree in our yard. Well, we have those too, but we have a Christmas tree in the house for the first time in many years. Our Maggie passed away in September of 2007. She was our Christmas pit bull baby that we got at Christmas mm-hmm. in 1992. Mm-hmm. And so it was very hard for both of us to do Christmas because of Maggie. I got Maggie on Christmas Day. She had a sad story. She was taken away from her mom when she was 4 weeks old by this beach bum that was using her to pick up chicks. And so she never knew when her next meal was coming. And she was as fat as she was long when I got her. She was about 7, almost 8 weeks old. And I take her to the vet the day after Christmas. And poor little thing, he gives her the deworming medicine, so she starts deflating almost instantly because her little body was so mm-hmm. full of worms. And, mm-hmm. And the doctor says, because she was so malnourished, I recommend the $400 million bag of puppy dog food that mm-hmm. he sells, which of mm-hmm. course we're going to mm-hmm. buy because we want to do right by this puppy. And we already had a pit bull mix. We had Luke, and my husband's teasing Luke, going, "Honey, this is your Christmas present, but you don't get to open her for a couple of years." Bad joke, I know. My husband's demented, if y'all. But we did, and we did have puppies with Maggie and Luke a few years later. But and for us, Christmas was always about Maggie and celebrating her birthday, because we don't have human children. We have fur babies. But this year, mm-hmm. and prior to this, the year that we got Sadie, because Cole died, Cole was Maggie's puppy that we kept. He passed away in 2009, just after he turned 15. And we got Sadie in 2009. So we put up a tree then so that way Sadie would know what a tree was all about. But in between all those times, I would use my little 2-foot Christmas tree. It's, just an inexpensive one that had the lights and it was a tree in a box with the lights and all the ornaments, even though mm-hmm. I have enough ornaments probably to decorate about 7 trees. Because I like it. And Ron and I, this is the smallest house we've ever lived in. We've always bought a live tree that was 7.5 foot or taller. And so that's part of the reason why I have so many ornaments. But I always used my little 2-foot tree to go around the railroad track because he has his train set up at Christmas time, which is more of an East Coast kind of thing, or in that colder weather where you have the train track thing going. So anyways, so that's what we've used for Christmas is the little 2-footer. And so, and then this year, my mother had made the comment that she couldn't get to her Christmas tree because my dad won't let her get out to the shed or the tree store because we haven't been out there in a few years. And my dad's worried that there might be snakes out there. But my mother has lots of cats, and she's like, no, there's not any snakes. We're like, Mom, just don't go out there. So I was shopping online, bought her Christmas tree, and so that way, and Ryan goes, you know, we should just go ahead and invest in a artificial tree. And I'm thinking, this is not my husband. We have had another alien jump inside my husband because I always grew up with an artificial tree. And he always grew up with a real, he grew up with an artificial tree, but when he moved out on his own, he was adamant about having a real tree. So we've always had a real tree other than the little artificial one that I used, you know, in the years since Maggie passed. And he goes, maybe we should buy one. And I'm like, who is this man? Nonetheless, when I ordered my mother's, I ordered one for us. And now I have this 7.5-foot tree that we had to bend over the first foot at the top so it would fit in my house. Yeah, but and it's just funny. But, you know, we ordered the tree right after Thanksgiving. It sat in the – it rode around in the back of my van because I had to go pick it up at the store because I did a store pickup instead of sending it to the house. But it rode around in my van for 2 weeks before I actually put it up because growing up, we never, you know, most people that I went to school with set their tree up on Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, something like that. But in the Hispanic Catholic culture, it was common or tradition when I was growing up for it to get set up on December 12th, which is the day of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And she is known as the patron saint for Hispanics, Latinos, Mexican Americans. And my mother being of Hispanic ancestry is when we put up the tree. We could never put the tree up before December 12th. That was just sacrilegious in our house. So, and, you know, and if you look at the ancestry of the Christmas tree in the 1920s and 30s, they didn't put up the tree until a few days before Christmas. You know, we're just getting crazier and crazier with getting it up earlier and earlier, you know, as far as getting the Christmas tree up. But the whole purpose, you know, and then you see people say, well, you know, the whole purpose of the season is because of Christ. And I think I've mentioned this on the show before, but the reason that Christmas was chosen as a day was because the Roman Catholic Church was trying to get more of the pagans to convert. And there is a pagan holiday at this time of the year. And so that was what the big push was, because according to scientists, the alignment of when he was born does not fall in December of 2,000 years ago. So, but at any rate, so if we're going to go with the celebration of Christ, let's do it every day. You know, let's quit changing. You know, I don't remember if it was an email that I received or if it was one of those posts on Facebook that someone was talking about, you know, it was an email I received, that when we stop chasing Christ and start realizing the Christ-like in us and the closer to Christ we are, or the closer to Christ we can be. Yeah, and and I think that's the way it is for our religions. It's not that we need to be chasing something. And I always crack up when people say, oh, I found God, and I'm always cracking up. I was like, really? When was he lost?
Exactly.
Yes. Yes, I'm that. I am one of those people that ask, really? I didn't know he was lost. You know, did somebody put out an APB for him or what, you know? But, sorry, it's just one of those things. It just cracks me up because they're not lost. You're the one that's lost from, you know, God or Christ or Buddha or Allah, whatever, or David, you know, whatever your faith-based religion is. And because there's, you know, in all religions, even in Hawaiian spirituality, there's only one God. You know? And so, you know, and he has many disciples, many messengers. Ka'ivi's a messenger. I'm a messenger. Those that are listening to the show, y'all are messengers too. Everything that you do, everything that we do, when we do it for our highest and greatest good, we're empowering ourselves, but we're empowering others. We're working together to help improve the environment, help improve humanity, help improve the love, to help remind each of us and for us to remember how magnificent we are, how wonderful our relationship with Keakua is, how to access that capability all the time. You know, we're not limited to just, if you're Catholic, Sundays. If you can't go Sunday, you go Saturday night mass. If you're Baptist, you go to church Wednesday and Sunday. These are traditional things that I know about these two religions, only because my husband's Baptist, was raised Baptist. And my dog just shook on my leg, and it just scared the crud out of me. It's like, oh, I thought you were sleeping on the pillow. When did you jump off the bed? So at any rate, but, you know, this is that time for you to just have that reconnection to Keakua. You know, we all get disconnected. We all have illusions of, well, you know, I'm not following God, you know. And Ka'ivi's heard me tell this story about my writing a letter to God, you know, and I've talked about it on the show before. At the time, I was mad at God, I thought. So the girl that's telling me to do this is saying, yeah, just like, I'm like, don't even talk to me about God. I'm not doing God. And she goes, so what? I go, great, Spirit. And she's just rolling her eyes laughing at me because she understood where, you know, that I had some illusions and my disconnect with the word God. But I was still honoring God, but I was just calling him Great Spirit. And following Native American traditions, because I also have Native American ancestry. But we all have that moment of disconnect, of having the feeling that we're not part of God, and why would God do this to me? And that's, you know, it's part of, what are you doing to yourself? What are you thinking? What are your actions? Mm-hmm. What are you telling people? When I talk to people about law of attraction, and they go, oh, well, no, you know, that doesn't happen. And, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us that. And I go, yes, it does. What happens to the, you reap what you sow. So if you're and if you don't know what that means, so, because we've gotten away from farming and growing our own vegetables, well, with the exception of Ka'ivi and I, we both have gardens. And but what sowing, S-O-W, it means to put seeds in the ground. And the Bible is talking about putting seeds in your brains, in your body, in your element. So what are you thinking? Those are seeds. Your thoughts are seeds. So you're sowing all the time. So are you sowing things for yourself, or are you sowing mediocre things, or are you sowing bad things? You know, you're the only one that knows the answer to that.
So true, you know. And that's it, you know. One of the things that I love in all of this that we're sharing and we're talking about is really the self-talk, right? You know, we can go through so much. People can go through everything, you know, again, but what is it that's playing in your head? The seeds that were planted, that's that recording that goes over and over and over. And only when you decide, I don't want that weed, that weed is what's infecting my garden, let me dig that weed out, right? Then when you take that and you change that recording or that weed pull out of your garden, then we can really experience, you know, love, peace, joy, and wisdom. And that's it. It's really just paying attention to yourself. Many times people are seeking so much outside. They're seeking everything in the outside. Let me find this. Let me find that. And then they gobble up everything, and then they come into conflict because you're trying to apply 30 million different things when it's like, find what is right for you. Sometimes the most simplest thing is just paying attention to one thing, right? Paying attention to one thing, not bombarding yourself with everything, but paying attention to one thing. And Crystal and I, you know, we've shared this before. And this is all about love, peace, joy, and wisdom in what we share. You know, sometimes we need to empty ourselves in the beginning, learn to cut, clear, remove all of these weeds from your garden, take the cassette player out. Oh, excuse me, I just dated myself.
Well, at least you didn't say the LP.
Well, I was thinking it, but anyway. When we can clear that up, empty that, then whatever we bring into our consciousness, we can focus on, such as love, peace, joy, and wisdom, and change, you know, change the LP, flip the record over to the other side, you know, that kind of thinking. And then what happens? We change our life, we change our feelings, we adjust to living a more peaceful, loving, joyful life through the wisdom that we learn. And sometimes, from our point of view, we can say, well, it's as simple as that. And yet we know it's harder when you're not in that space to accept the shifting or the clearing or the understanding that I need to let this go or that. But when you get to that point that you did a lot of that and you see the difference, then you realize it was pretty much as simple as that. Those were thoughts. Those were words, those were energy by those words, by those thoughts that manifested that caused a whole lot of problems. It's not tangible. If you look at it, a word, we can see the word, you know, but it's not something you can grab onto. But think about what that word did or what those groups of words did that affected you greatly. When we can understand that that's energy that allowed us to either stumble, fall, trip, or wallow, and we can simply remove the energy that is attached to those words, attached to those emotions of those words, then we can realize we can make a lot of shifting for the better. And that's what we're talking about. Celebrating love, peace, joy, and wisdom. You know, it's not about religion. It really is not about religion. It really comes back to just celebrating, you know, life, just loving one another, loving life. It's being at peace with yourself. It's being at peace. When you're at peace with yourself, then you find peace with others. When you're in the space of joy, then you would bring joy to others. And all of that comes with wisdom. I got to share this. It's so funny, as I was listening to Crystal share about having a tree in her home after all of these years. This is the first year that we do not have a traditional Christmas tree. Every year we went out and bought a traditional Christmas tree. We wanted the beautiful smell of a Christmas tree every year from when I can, as far back as I can remember. And I started that tradition with my wife. They never had a Christmas tree. And when we got together, I said, we got to have a Christmas tree. And so every year we've had a Christmas tree. And when Crystal said this is the first year in a long, many years that she put up a Christmas tree, this is the first year in as far as I can remember, that we didn't put up a traditional Christmas tree. And I thought it wouldn't go over well with the kids. But, you know, it's funny when we talk about shifting. So, again, in Crystal's household, she has a beautiful Christmas tree. And in my house, we took one of our potted palm trees. We strung lights and bulbs and everything, and we put it up. And we're content. It feels so right. And that's the difference, you know, for us. Again, we're individuals, but we're going to find what works with us. And, again, this year, like I said, I'm behind the eight ball on Christmas, but it's a whole different feeling for me this year. It really is about love. It really is about enjoying time with one another. It really is just being able to sit, laugh, have a drink of coffee or, you know, a glass of wine. But it is about just sharing one another with one another. It is about sitting down and saying, how are you? You're all right? Awesome. You know, how's the family? How's the dogs? How's the cats? How's mom and dad? And that's it. That's everlasting, you know. And that's my big deal about this. You know, when Crystal brought up about, you know, the religious part, we understand that. And like she said, though, if we can make it an everyday thing, you know, honoring Christ every day, honoring Buddha every day, honoring, you know, or living in that space of what they taught, what they represented, living that every day, then every day can be that holiday. Every day can be Christmas, you know. Every day can be, for me, every day can represent a new year, you know. It's like, okay, we have 24 hours, and when that 24 hours are up, the next 24 hours is brand new, you know. But that's the perspective that we have on this, living in a space of joy, living in a space of happiness. That's choices, right, Crystal? These are choices.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, just like you said, you know, I've even had a palm tree, Christmas tree before. We've done that. You know, there was a couple years that, you know, when you first get started, you know, everybody has these illusions. Oh, it's going to be so great. You know, we're going to move in together. We're getting married, whatever, whatever. Well, you know, sometimes things happen and, you know, job situations change, or, you know, you're in between jobs. And so, you know, things get a little lean. I've had palm tree Christmas trees before. Just because, you know, it was lean, you know, a lean time. And it's like, well, you know, I really would like to spend $40 on a tree, but I'd rather eat for the next 2 weeks. So,
mm-hmm.
So you know, mm-hmm. you make those tough decisions. But, you know, like you said, it is about being in the moment and in that contentment of having your own godlike experience. You know, the holidays, there are people that, you know, are very, very faithful to their religion, and that's mm-hmm. wonderful. But I'm issuing the challenge to everyone to open up that godlike spark in yourself and allow yourself mm-hmm. to have that godlike experience and to be mm-hmm. just to be every day. Some days it's mm-hmm. going to be easy. Some days it's going to be a challenge, but every day mm-hmm. have that godlike experience. Look through, you know, open your eyes and look through the wonderment of a child. And if you say you can't do that, think about when you were a little kid. You know, here, in, you know, I grew up in the mainland and overseas, and so I've always had the rustling of leaves for fall and making these big piles of leaves and falling in them. You don't have that much of that kind of an experience in Hawaii per se, but get out there and, you know, roll around in the mud. One of my fondest recent memories is last year when I went to my auntie's celebration of life service there on Oahu. The airline, you know, needed my seat, so that's how I got stuck on Oahu an extra day. So I'm walking around downtown Honolulu. There's a story behind it, and it's, you know, and this is only a 60-minute show, so I can't get into the whole story. But I'm walking around in Honolulu. It starts raining. I'm seeing these people getting all upset that it's raining. I just walk into the Ross, because I'm close to the Ross. I buy an umbrella, and I'm walking around in wonderment. I have a dress on, and I have my local slippers on, slippers for the rest of us. But I'm walking around, and there's these puddles, and I'm imagining myself living on Oahu at the turn of the century, you know, the 1890s, the turn of the 20th century, not the 21st that we're in now, because that was a whole different. But I mean, you know, how if it would have been raining like this, they would have carried an umbrella. You know, they were accustomed to carrying parasols and walking around, and probably there were stone roads for the road, not asphalt like we have now, and maybe they had boardwalks, you know, actual boards. And I'm walking around and just thinking about that time period and how far we've come in making our lives more comfortable, but yet there were so many people that were freaking out because it was sprinkling raining. For those that live, this wasn't like, you know, traditional downpour kind of rain. It was the more traditional, it's the afternoon here, I'm going to sprinkle for a little bit and it's all good. And for me, it was. I had the biggest smile on my face. People that I was passing, they were smiling because I was smiling. It was, and some of the puddles that I had to go around or through, I had to pick up my skirt because my skirt was the length was between my knees and my ankles. And so, you know, and so that's what caused me to think about that time period, what my ancestors would have gone through wearing the white long dresses or the black and white, you know, the black skirts with the white blouse. And, you know, they would have, that would have been normal for them to walk around in the streets lifting their skirts so that way it wouldn't get dirty. And how would they circumvent these puddles? And I was having so much fun just allowing my imagination to run wild with me, and I would jump in a couple of those puddles to have fun. So when you're thinking about, I can't have fun, so what? Jump in the puddles. Do you know how many people that because at the time period, the time of the day, it was around 5 o'clock, so it was mostly business people, and they saw me having fun and laughing, and I'm giggling at myself because I got wet, or if I hit the puddle, the sprinkles would hit up under my dress, and I'm like giggling going, oh great, well good thing I still have the hotel room to go and shower and change before I get on the plane to go back to Texas. But it doesn't take $1 million to always make you happy. It just takes you having fun in the moment and having those childlike wonderments to do things that maybe your mom would never let you have. My mom would never let us have chocolate cake for breakfast. The first apartment I moved into, once I was settled, I made chocolate cake before I went to bed. In the morning, I ate half a dang chocolate cake for breakfast.
I love it.
That's what I said. You know, there's the sky's the limit to enjoy. You know, I go outside a lot just to watch the birds and the trees and the leaves on them on my tree. You know, it's amazing just how a little bit of a breeze will make them move. And I'm, you know, and of course there's science and physics involved by how why it works this way or that way, but it's just cool to watch, you know, and for them to know it's time to drop their leaves or it's time for them to start budding. They, you know, it, they just know there's not, oh, well, you know, I don't want to bud too soon because Susie's not budding. No, it's not. It's their time to bud. So they're going to bud. They're just being. They're just doing what they're supposed to be doing. So.
I just love it, right, what you just said. They're just being and doing what they're supposed to do. A couple of weeks ago, and I'd say maybe a month or more, we ended up in Lowell's home improvement store, and I just love going into the garden department to look at plants and everything and just being in that space. And they had a rack with discounted plants. They didn't look well. You know, those that didn't make the cut was, you know, drooping and everything. And my daughters and I were there, and we, you know, we saw this roses that were there, and it looked sick and unhealthy and everything. And, you know, the price was slashed, you know, 50%+. And I said, okay, well, you know, there's a beautiful flower on it, but the rest of the plant didn't look like it was going to make it, and we bought it. You know, I kind of just hid it in the back of the car and you know, picked up my wife from work, and then we get home, and she's like, when were you going to tell me about the rose in the car? And, you know, as a quick thinker, I went, oh, I forgot, that's a surprise for you, you know. But anyway, what it was that plant was discounted. It looked dingy and it wasn't doing great. And, you know, and I said, well, for half price, we can enjoy, you know, enjoy that one or two flowers that were on it. And it was so on and so forth. And we brought it home. We put it in a nice area. And I said, okay, you know, my grandmother's name was Rose. So I said, well, here it is, Graham Rose. We're going to enjoy it for however long. And what happened in a month's time, this plant that was discounted turned around and it grew. It got the leaves fell off that needed to fall off. We just watered it and enjoyed it. And the it started right now. I have five beautiful full buds ready to open. And you wouldn't be able to tell that was a discounted plant, that it was ready to go, you know. And the clerk actually said, well, if we don't sell it, usually we'll get a, you know, whatever from the vendor. And here it is. We took that plant, brought it home, gave it love, gave it water, and said, this is, we're going to enjoy you, you know. And that's what happened. This plant grew. Oh, it's almost full with buds and beautiful. You know, I can see the flowers today. And I was, the buds, and I counted, there's five beautiful buds ready to open. And, you know, my thing with this is, it's that metaphor for us. You know, if people are going to be counted as discounted, you know, or they're going to be, you know, here it is, we have whatever going on with us. If you just give them nurturing words, you just share, you know, a little bit of love, a little bit of peace, a little bit of joy that you can. It doesn't cost you anything, but if you can share just a little bit of that, watch what happens when someone feels, wow, right? I was discounted, you know, by whatever was going on in my life. People around me, whatever have you, and you give them a little bit of your peace, a little bit of your joy, a little bit of your wisdom, a little bit of happiness. You share that with what you have, you know, and look what happens. You know, that person will bloom. And that's what, you know, this show has been about, sharing what we know. And we never say we know everything, because we're growing every day. And I think we'll grow until we transition to the next phase. But this is it. This is what we're here to do, is help each other and share what we know. A little bit of wisdom, a little bit of love, a little bit of peace. And watch what happens. Watch what happens. You know, it's as simple as that. We share a little bit of what we have, you know. And that's what we're doing at this time and space, is just sharing with one another. When we, you know, the world can change when we start to look at ourselves and truly take a good look at the picture of ourselves and say, you know, do we want the world to continue the way we are, the way the world's heading? No, we don't. You know, I've read and I've seen, you know, stories here and there of people just like us in these war-torn countries that are saying, we don't hate anybody. We want to live in peace. We want to live in happiness. We just want to live. And that's what we're doing on this end. But we're led to believe, truly, that everybody is out against each other. And yet, that's what the media is portraying. And then when you dig deeper into the deeper stories, they're just like any one of us. We're trying to avoid war at all costs. So this is it. Now we ourselves, what Crystal and I share, it's just a little bit of wisdom that we've learned throughout our life, throughout our stories of our lives, that there's more people out there that are ready to say, let me make a difference. You know, to make a difference is really learning to love yourself first, learning to let go of all the past, learning to truly love yourself completely. And when you love yourself completely and you let go of everything, what happens? There's more love to give. There's unconditional love to give. There's just everything that wells up. And when we know that all of that is within us, we truly can make a difference. It's not an external thing. It's from within that we bring to the external world, to the outside world. It's all within. So if you think about each and every one of us as light bulbs, and when we hit that space of awareness, somebody pulled the cord and the light bulb went, and it comes on, right? You know, again, I'm dating myself because it's LED lights now, you know, but a light bulb and you pull a string. I didn't say
exactly.
Light the candle. I said pull the cord.
I still have two light fixtures that I have to pull the cord. One's in my closet and one's on my back porch. So I still have pull the cord.
Yeah. I do too. But you know,
sometimes you just can't mess with perfection. You know, they work just fine. So it would cost me more money to have them modernized with a light switch than for pull the cord. So, you know, I'm just pulling the cord. And sometimes just simple is better, you know?
Yes, yes. And that's it, though. It's, you know, when we can flip on that light switch within us, watch what happens. You know, each of us take that light switch, pull the cord, light the candle, you know, flip the switch, whatever have you. But
right.
When we all stand together and do that and bring joy, peace, happiness to your own lives first, it cannot help but affect others. You know, it cannot help but affect others. And that's
exactly,
really, you know, it really is about that. You know, again, we talk about religion, and it's never, for me, again, one of my biggest deals is that Christ didn't know he was a Christian. He was walking his path, and he was here to do what he needed to do. not as a Christian, but as a person that came into the world with the brightest light. Buddha, same thing. You know, all of these different facets, but they all come in the representation of light. And many people are looking and searching and waiting for the bright light to come back into this world. And yet, who's to say that he's not here amongst us with our own light, right? Could
exactly.
it be that we need to relight this world with our light? Could it
yep.
be that we take our light of what we know of these people and brighten up the world that way? You know, it is about stretching into that space of, okay, because there's one thing about knowing the story. It's one thing about learning what was taught. It's one thing about reading all of these things, but the whole other ballgame to this is applying everything that we learned. Not that we're Christians, not that we're Buddhists, not that we're this or that, but because we're human beings in this planet that we are on, and we need to come together to really light that space of pure light within each other, you know. And the way we do that is by lighting our own light. When we light our own light, we all trigger somebody else's light, you know, and just look at it in that light, you know. When I do a good deed for so-and-so, you know, that next person would be like, wow, I can't believe it, you know. In today's world, I would never expect that from someone, and yet they did it for me, you know. Or, wow, I would not look at it in that light, but that happened. You know, and that's the key to all of this is first learning you. When you learn you, let go of everything that happened 10 minutes ago. You know, and if it's a whole lot of baggage like some of us have, you know, let it go. Well, what is that new song? Well, not new song. Here I go. New. It was 2013 when the song from Frozen came out. Let it go, let it go, let it
oh.
go. That's it. Let it go, you know.
Yep.
Let it go. You know, and once we let it go, it's done. Yesterday is done. It's done. It's power. It's kaput. It's over with. Take that today and apply it today and go, what good does it do me today, right? But that was a lesson for yesterday that we go, okay, I won't hold on to it anymore, but I'll look at it as a lesson. Again, what I said earlier, you know, Crystal and I know these are choices. I choose to be happy. I choose to be in the space of joy. I choose to be in the space of wisdom. You know, I choose to. And you add the end of that. You add to the end of that and say, I choose to. You know, the other one, the other words that are so profound is I am, right? I am.
Yes.
Whatever you choose to add to I am, you will bring forth into you, right? So unto
yep.
you, I am happy. I am in joyful state. I am at peace. You know, I am peace.
I am peace.
Exactly. I am peace. You know, I crack up and I people see me and whenever they come, you know, to or whenever we meet and they come over, and I have a Buddhist or Tibetan singing bowl or a, you know, Tibetan bowl. I have a rosary, Catholic rosary. I have a Buddhist rosary. I have Buddhist music, you know, chanting. I have Gregorian chants. I have all of that. And they're like, what are you? And I said, I am me. You know, I'm not defined by what is playing on the music, on the stereo. I'm not defined by, you know, having a Tibetan bowl or a Hawaiian shells that I work with. I'm not defined by that. I am just me, and I'm a happy me, you know. But these are just tools. These are just tools. You know, again, we go back to Christ didn't know he was Christian. Buddha didn't know he was Buddhist. But they were a representation of light to this world. And that's it. That's what we're looking at, right? We're representation. We are in the space of light. It doesn't matter, you know, what religion you are. It's what you are carrying, the pure light of love, the light of wisdom, the light of peace, the light of joy, all encompassing in that one space. You walk your talk, you know, and watch what happens. Watch what happens. It is, you know, I love this topic that we're celebrating, you know, the holiday season. And it is about going into this holiday season, not about the monetary or the materialistic things. Yes, it is. It is nice, but it's also saying, hey, if I'm spending time with you, that is the most happiest thing I can do at this, in this time and moment. Because we can't, again, we never know what tomorrow will bring. We're not promised tomorrow, so we can enjoy each other today. We can enjoy each other today. What would be most happy, if anything, on this time and space, right? If you look at any, you ask questions of people, and you ask them, what is one thing that you would love if you can do? And majority of the people say, I want to be able to talk to my mother or hug my dad or love my child or, you know, ask so-and-so a question or get the wisdom of someone. And all of these people that they bring up are people that crossed over the veil, that went to the other side. So if we're looking at that, wouldn't it be more in the space of, I would get to spend time with you in this time and space, in the physical present? Wouldn't that be a gift that, you know, that you can look up and say, wow, I am so glad I got to spend time with that person. I am so glad that I got to hug them. I am so glad that that memory will stick with me forever, you know. When we can see it in the space of love, other things really doesn't matter. So when we can look at things in that light, you know, perspective, we come into that view of perspective. And I think that's where, for me, this holiday season is, because we've, many members of my family crossed over the veil this past year. And then you realize, too, that, again, tomorrow's not promised. So let's enjoy one another. Let's enjoy the true reason for this holiday seasons. And in all of that, encompass love, peace, joy, and wisdom. Okay, sorry, I talked a lot.
No, it's good. I talked a lot earlier. And I wanted to just elaborate on a couple of things that you were saying. You know, Kaivi was saying, you know, tomorrow's not promised. So, yeah, live for today, live in the moment. And whatever Manini, you know, last week I was talking about Manini things. Do your best to work it out with your family. If you still can't work it out with your family, that's okay, you know. But hold that space of love for them, you know. And if they're not going to change, and if they don't want to play in your sandbox, because remember my rules, my sandbox, if you don't want to play nice, you can't play in the sandbox, right? So if they're not willing to meet you halfway, that's okay too. That doesn't mean that that it's hopeless or you're going to give up. It just means that right now is just not the time, and it's okay. But if you reach, you know, but if you reach out to the family members, then that's all you can do is try. And just reaching out and just letting them know that, yes, I love you. I may not like what you're doing. I may not like you, but I still love you. That's okay.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and that's, and sometimes you can't do it in person. So have that conversation from you to them, you know, and ask Kyokua, look, you know, I don't know why we're not able to get along right now, but I still love them. And I want them to know I love them. So can you just send them a message? And it will happen. You don't have to worry about the how. It will happen. And just hold on to knowing that, you know, you're holding yourself up with your integrity and being authentic and being your loving, peaceful, joyful, and wise self. and that you're sharing that information, you know, wholeheartedly within yourself and with and outside of yourself by the by your deeds and actions. And what other people think, it doesn't matter. It's only between you and Keakua. It's your relationship with Keakua. And as you start developing and changing your life to be more godlike and love-like, other people will either come around you or not. But when your vibration starts vibrating so high, it's hard for those that are not awakened, that are not in the same scheme of things, for the lack of better words in English, if they're not ready, they're not ready. And that's nothing wrong with that. You know. But you continue to grow and hold yourself in that higher vibration, and great things will continue to happen for you. Don't give up on yourself.
Exactly.
It may not work out today.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes, you know, people say, well, you know, I've been working this law of attraction thing and it doesn't work. But what if it is working? What if you're giving up just 1 second too short, you know, too quick? And it's because the plan is bigger than you could imagine. Sometimes we think we're out here in outer space dreaming and thinking, but our dreams and thinking sometimes are just very little compared to the master plan. And so when we're in that vibration of, oh, I really want to do this or I really want this or whatever, and it doesn't happen immediately because now we're a society of immediate gratification, then we get frustrated and upset. And our genie's over here going, it's working. Just hang in there. Just hold on just a second. But it's because we want everything now. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. It doesn't always work that way. Sometimes we have to take a step back. We have to reevaluate. We have to allow things to happen. You know, for those that are out there looking for their soulmate, sometimes that soulmate has to get out of that bad relationship they're in so that way they can come into the great relationship they're supposed to have with you. So be patient. You know, it will happen. You know, looking for that new job. I've sent out resume after resume. You know, those people are crazy. I don't know what's going on. No, it's not that they're crazy. Your right position may not be with that company, as much as you want it to be with that company. Nothing worse than to go to work for a company or a job or a person or whatever, and then once you get there, go, oh, my God, why did I even say yes when this is not really what I want? So sometimes when we're waiting for that perfect opportunity, we'll settle. And when you settle, you only get the bottom of the bowl, you know. And what's always at the bottom? The crud. See, I was nice. Never said crap. So be nice. Be gentle to yourself. You know, make yourself a priority. And as you make yourself a priority, others around you will make you a priority, and you will make them a priority. You know, as Kaimi was saying, you know, him and his family, they're quite content with their palm tree Christmas tree. And but it's not the tree that's making the season. It's their family being together. You know, same thing with my husband and I and this Christmas tree. And I am having the best time watching him have the childlike little boy thing. He wakes up early. Today we slept in, but he wakes up early every morning. And the first thing that goes on is the Christmas tree. Growing up,
I love it.
He and I talk, you know, growing up, Christmas tree was only on for a few hours at nighttime. No, as soon as he wakes up, he's on the computer reading the newspaper, and the Christmas tree is in front of his computer the way our house is set up. So the Christmas tree is just blinking on and off, the two different, you know, the two different sets of colors that it's on there. So I'm just cracking up because when I come out of the bedroom and into the kitchen, I can see the living room, and I'm like, oh, he's got the tree on again. And he's the funniest thing, but I'm enjoying watching the childlike, the little boy in him come out with the tree. And and that whole being in the moment and just being grateful and joyful, because when you're in that gratitude and joy, comes out the love. There, it has no choice. You know, if you were to sit and have the debate with me and say, "Well, no, I can't," how can it not? How can you not find love and compassion when you're so grateful for just the littlest things in life? Yeah,
exactly.
You guys have heard you've heard me talk about my three dogs. I have small, medium, and large. Medium sized dog, his name is Sam, and he's my puppy. And part of the reason I didn't want to put up a tree was because I was concerned Sam would try to mark it. You know, he's a boy dog. Boy dogs like to hike. And he, you know, at first he was afraid of the tree because anything new in his environment, he is frightened. And so we're constantly telling him, "Sam, you're so brave. You're so, you know, you're a brave boy. You know, that nothing is going to get you." And so that way he can get used to the idea of whatever, you know, it new in his environment is not going to get him. And as we've been putting up the tree, if it moves, you know, where we've bumped into it, he'll bark at it because that's out of his normal. And we're laughing.
Mm-hmm.
But the other day, he's chasing little dog, which is Susie. And whenever she gets the upper hand on him, he will bite at the couch or a toy or something. Well, the Christmas tree was in his way as he's trying to get to her. So he's sitting there nibbling at the tree, which causes me to laugh. But I'm thinking, "Oh, my God, it's a Christmas tree. Don't be chewing on my tree." And my husband was laughing. He goes, "It doesn't matter. If we have to buy a new tree next year, we'll buy a new tree." I was like, "No, if he destroys the thing, we'll just turn it around, you know." And so we're just sitting there laughing at this dog having, you know, his little fit because he can't get to her, so he's pulling at the tree and nibbling on the branches, and we're just cracking up, you know, at the joyful wonder of being in the moment, you know. And after a little while, they stopped playing, so I'm sitting on the couch. I have all three dogs on me, and I look at Ron and I tell him with this big cheesy smile on my face and in my eyes, life can't get any better than this.
I love it. And that's it. You know, truly that to me is it. That's where it becomes us. It's our, you know, what makes us happy, what makes us, you know, what is our fulfillment of that time and space. And that's all that matters, you know. Everyone that I know is all in this, a lot of them are in this, "It's Christmas, we need to do this." And I'm just like, well, I have a ham in the freezer, you know. I don't know how to, I've never cooked a ham, but here I am. I'm not in the space of panicking of anything. It's just be, enjoy, love one another, and, you know, make new memories, you know.
Exactly.
That really is the bottom of it. And for me, I love that story of what you just shared about Ron and his light, you know. And I'm like you, you know, if the dog chewed that, we spin the tree around, you know, and that gives us a good 4 years. We keep spinning that tree.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that's just me. And that's why I love that. It's like, cool, because let me tell you, that's the memories that we would laugh about in years to come, right? You know, in 10 years, we'll be laughing. Crystal and I will be laughing and cracking up going, "How was your tree that you bought 10 years ago?" "Well, maybe we don't have the first layer of branches. And the third bed has to go higher." But that's it. We're laughing and we're enjoying that, you know, these memories. And that's what it's all about. We look back in our life and say, "Wow, remember that? You know, remember that Christmas when we got our new tree? Remember that Christmas, you know, Han, remember when you used to crawl underneath to plug in the lights or whatever have you? And then I, you know, in my case, I mean, remember when I quit crawl? That we can laugh and enjoy. That's it. That's memories. You know, my kids and I know our time is over, but I want to share this as well. The kids and I, my wife and I and the kids, we sit down every day and we have dinner and together always. And we can laugh about everything under the sun that we did, you know, everything. It is about that space of laughing and enjoying. And it's very rare that we ever get into anything deep that would cause, okay, well, we're going to get grouchy and whatever have you. We're not going to. It's about laughing and sharing and enjoying the day. That's that memory that we had for the day. It's done. The whole day is done, and we're sitting there in the evening with our meals and laughing and talking about the happy things that we did. So now when we translate that into today, into our lives, such as Crystal and I and what we share, that's what we're hoping that you take away from this, is that you can make the choices to look at today and look at every part of your life and just look back at all the happy times. And what you do when you do that is you're going to start to project the happy times that you enjoyed out into the world. You're projecting that into the future already. You're projecting that into the space around you. That's all we're trying to do, is say, hey, you know, focus on the things that brings happiness, brings joy, brings peace. You know, the wisdom that was shared, pass it on. You know, you don't know what you're unlocking in someone else by sharing the love, sharing the peace, sharing the joy, sharing the happiness through the wisdom that you've learned. And so again, in that space, that's what I wish to leave you with this holiday season, you know, and I am never ashamed to say Merry Christmas, you know, Happy Hanukkah, you know, it's Happy Kwanzaa, but it is
Happy Festivus.
Much to you. Exactly. All of that. Melekaliki Maka, you know,
Feliz Navidad.
All of that. Feliz Navidad. Exactly. I just saw a post that was on Facebook that, you know, I don't get upset if somebody wishes me Merry Christmas, if someone wishes me Happy Hanukkah, if someone wishes me Happy Kwanzaa, and so on and so forth. Because it doesn't matter what they wished me. It was because they thought of me when they said it. And that's really, truly the logist of this. It doesn't matter what they said when they say happy whatever to you. It was because they thought of me when they said it to me. And that's what we wish to leave you with, is, you know, just be happy in everything, in anything, in all. Just be happy. Spread the joy, spread the love, spread the peace, spread the wisdom.
Yeah.
And, you know, enjoy
the
holiday season.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
I before we got on the air, my husband was watching a pre-recorded show of the Pawn Stars, and they were talking about. Sorry, and that's Sadie. She decided she's going to talk, and they
she
had
said happy.
She's so happy. No, there's a man walking down the street she don't like. And so she doesn't like anybody walking down our street. But on the show, they were talking about a little tin that this man brought in. And in World War One, during 1914, they had the Christmas truce. So for Christmas Day, there was no fighting in World War One, and the troops from the German and the British, they, you know, on Christmas Day, they joined camaraderie, celebrated Christmas in many places. And then when Christmas was over, they went back to fighting. And I thought, wow, but how could, you know, wouldn't it be nice to make it Christmas Day every day so that way we're not fighting you know, we can have differences of opinions, but at the end of the day, we're all entitled to our opinions. And sometimes when somebody gives us our opinion, we can either take the information and say, ooh, let me try that. That might work. Or go, no, I tried that. It didn't work for me. You know, but that's all it is. And so for my wish for all of you guys is to take the opportunity to listen to the other person. It may not be exactly how you would do things or the way you want to do things or what you want to do, but maybe it might spark an idea for you to do things similar or different, for you to go out, try something new, or think a different way, or open your perception to how the world is. And just take the opportunity to be more joyful and more loving and more happy and more abundant, and share your wisdom, as Kaivi was saying, because we all matter. You know, the person that knows how to dig a ditch, you know, I don't know how to dig a ditch. I know how to play with the shovel, but I don't know how to dig a ditch. There's always someone that knows how to do something that you don't know how to do. But we all have value. You know, we all have knowledge. So don't be afraid to share your knowledge with someone else. And there's times, I know that Kaivi and I have discussed this before, when we can see the light shining bright and clear in you, trust that we know that light is shining bright and clear. There is a reason that we can say, we know that you can do this, because we can see it. We've been down your road. We've had other people tell us the same thing, and, you know, trust us, you know, or trust me. I've had my ears plugged, my eyes closed, because, no, I don't think so. And for 35 years, I've had psychics, I've had other light workers tell me, oh, you know, you're one of the greatest teachers. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Because I was closed-minded in thinking that teaching had to be sitting in a classroom, teaching 35 students a day. And that's not the kind of teaching I do, you know. But it took me 25 years to really understand what I do and be a teacher. And be okay with the word teacher. That was, you know, that was my misconception. But it's okay. So we all have the value and purpose. So share that with each other. Just open your heart just a little bit. And the one thing that I do want to share with everybody, because during the holiday season, as Kaivi said, we really miss the ones that have transitioned and are now in spirit. So for those of you that still have loved ones, mother, brother, father, sister, aunt, uncle, whatever, take a minute and call them up and record the conversation. I have told you guys this before. My mother is so accustomed to me recording our conversation that she'll call me up and tell me, Mija, which is a combination of me, Iha, which means is an affectionate my daughter. She'll go, Mija, put me on the tape. Now, talk about dating, right? Because she's thinking tape recorder, right? Not smartphone recording device that we had, you know. But she's like, put me on the tape. I got something I want to tell you. There's a lot of times I wish I would have taped recorded my grandmother, because I probably would make better tortillas than I do. Right now I make flying saucers. I made flying saucers when I was 6 when she was teaching me how to make tortillas. But nonetheless, there's stories that my mother has that I can share with my nieces and nephews when my mom and dad are gone. I also take my dad. My dad doesn't call me up as often as my mother, but she'll remember a story from her childhood that is important to her. And so I ask you guys to take the time to start recording the stories. Maybe write them down if you can't. But, you know, a lot of us have smartphones, or go invest in a tape recorder. Those are kind of hard to come by, because I have a friend that does only tape recorders. But you can get the little tape recording devices at the store. You know, whatever it is, because in 3 generations, that person will be forgotten about. But in the meantime, mm-hmm. if you record them and start telling those stories to the future generations of what it was like to be growing up after the Depression, after World War II. My dad, you know, was 5 years old when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. So when you get to learn all those different stories and hardships and their perception of what was easy and hard and how things were simpler and harder, then your perception changes a little bit and you start being a little more grateful about having mm-hmm. the luxuries that you have, you know, being able to drive in a car, not having to walk to school and, you know, having this and having a that and just taking, you know, those things that we take for granted, you know, heating and cooling. My husband grew up having to, they bought coal and had a coal stove to keep them warm in the winter. You know, now we just flip the switch on the electric central unit to get heat or cold, you know. And so there's mm-hmm. a lot of different things that you can be grateful for, just taking a look back at a few generations of how they did things. So, and, you know, like I said, when they're already gone in spirit, it would be so nice to just hear their voice. In my mind's eye and in my imagination, I can hear the voice of my Auntie Val, one of my favorite people on the planet, you know, and she, you know, and just listening to her and the story she would tell brings great joy and tears to me sometimes. But it would have been nice if I would have recorded, you know, her speaking, because Hawaiians don't speak that way anymore. You know, we're more modern and, you know, we're more westernized, so our language is not of, you know, it's more American English as opposed to colony English, you know, colony England English. When I met my grandparents for the first time, they didn't say living room, they said parlor. And I was like, where's the parlor? Because I didn't know what a parlor was. So, you know, just those things that you love about your family, take the time and do that. You know, write it down, have them tell the stories, record it. And that way you'll have it to look back on. So, mm-hmm. and as Kaivi said, you know, we've gone way over our time, but, you know, this is our holiday, Christmas, Hanukkah, Lono Makahiki, Festivus, you know, this for us, it's all of those celebrations in one, you know. I love Lono Makahiki because that was our time that we didn't war. We celebrated for 4 months, you guys, four mm-hmm. months, not mm-hmm. one day, not one mm-hmm. week, 4 months. Okay, yeah, you get mm-hmm. it. I love celebrations. mm-hmm. So in closing, mm-hmm. my mm-hmm. wish to you guys, that your life is just filled with love and peace and joy and wisdom. And those are all innate gifts that are within us 24/7, 365 and a quarter days a year. So my mm-hmm. blessing for you guys is that you look inside, because they're not lost. You don't have to find them. Just look inside yourself and know that they're there. And feel the love, because I'm loving all of you guys right now and praying for just a very joyful time. And when we do our show next week, we'll be live for New Year's Eve, and we'll be talking about our reflections of 2015 and what to look for and setting our tone for 2016. Kaivi, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, again, you said everything that, you know, what's in my heart. It's love, peace, joy, and happiness to every one of you out there, our listeners. We're very grateful, very thankful. And again, just look really in the season of just loving one another. You know, loving one another. And those are the memories that will always stay with us. And with that, you know, for me with that, and from Crystal with that, that's what it's all about, loving one another. And so, I turn this over to Crystal, and we look forward to seeing you next week.
Absolutely. So mahalo nui ka iwi for joining me on this wild and fun adventure. And I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, Feliz Navidad, Lono Makahiki, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Festivus, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Chanukah. So whatever it is you're celebrating in your heart, know that we're with you celebrating as well. Have a very Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you on our New Year's Eve show next week. And if you'd like to email us, I'm just doing the show's one, the number 9hightime@gmail.com. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Ahui ho, malama kono.
Ahui ho. Yes. Aloha.
Big news! The new Sprint LTE Plus network is faster than Verizon and AT&T based on analysis of a recent study by Nielsen. And to celebrate, we're inviting you to join Sprint for the biggest offer in U.S. wireless history. Switch to Sprint and save 50% on most Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile rates. Yep, you heard that right. No gimmicks, no tricks. You have Verizon 6 gigs for $60, 30 with Sprint. And if you have 15 gigs for $100 from AT&T, 50 with Sprint. Even if you have T-Mobile's 10 gigs for $80, we'll give it to you for $40. Oh, and one more thing. We'll even pay your switching fees up to $650 per line so you can switch to the Sprint LTE Plus network today. Visit a Sprint store or sprint.com/save50%.
Offer coverage not available everywhere for discounted phones. Excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, and premium content. Subject to new line $36 activation fee. Credit valid port in. Plans may not be exact match. See website for eligible plans. Offer ends 1/7/16. Savings through 1/8/18. Exclusions and restrictions apply. Contract liability or reward card requires online registration.